Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening. I hope I'm not going to cry my heart out. It's just wishful thinking. We'll see what happens. Good evening, everyone. It's really good to be here. This morning I was in Seattle, and it is so different. I'm Isabel. I'm French. And I've been in the Bay Area almost 20 years, raising my children here. And I studied mindfulness, I believe, almost the whole time I was there. Part of the reason is because it was such a challenge to be unrooted, to leave my country, even though at the time I had no idea that it would be so challenging in my heart. My mind was very excited. I was going for new adventures with my family, my three little girls, and my husband. And this all sounded so excited. But leaving my family and my country was actually much harder than I would ever have imagined. So many challenges arose, and mindfulness, learning about mindfulness, practicing mindfulness, helped me a lot. I was in it for what I could get out of it, I must admit. All the fear about the future, the anxiety of not knowing where you are. Mindfulness, being mindful. And what I mean by that is meditating, cultivating a sense of being present, working on being grounded, of course, helped me a lot. And I really took to heart to develop and evolve with my heart. And in my life, really following those mindfulness principles. As Les mentioned today, I want to share about, you know, since I started this journey of being mindful a long time ago, what did Canando, or the experience with Canando, brought me? What do I feel I've learned? And I thought that was wonderful because I actually learned way more than I had bargained when I first stepped in the Zendo. I would like to illustrate what I'm going to be talking about. I would like to read you an excerpt from The Art of Abundance by Dennis Mary Jones. It's the parable of the big spoons. I don't know if anybody is familiar with it. So bear with me. It's a tiny long, it's like a page and a half, but I think it's a great metaphor. In a dream state, the master guided the young student to a large enclosure with two doors. He opened the first door and invited the student to look in. Throughout the room were numerous large round banquet tables. At the center of each table sat an enormous pot of soup. It smelled so wonderful, it made the student very hungry. Sitting around the tables were people who were complaining and crying. They appeared weak and emaciated, as if they were starving. Each was bound to a chair and holding a long-handled wood spoon, which fortunately made it possible to reach into the pot of soup at the center of the table and take a spoonful. However, because the handle was far longer than their arms, they could not get the spoons back to their mouth before the soup spilled out of the spoon, so they sat starving and complaining. The student was visibly upset at the sight of their anguish and suffering. The master then took the student to a second room and opened the door. The room appeared to be precisely the same as the first. The same large round tables filled the room, each with the same pot of soup at the center of the table. The people were bound to their chairs and equipped with the same long-handled spoons, but one thing was different. Here the people appeared well-fed as they energetically laughed and talked with one another. The student said, "I don't understand. Why are these people so filled up with joy?" "It's simple," said the master. "You see, in this room, the people have learned to consider their needs of others first, the need of others first, and to serve those needs by selflessly feeding one another with their long spoons. In so doing, they are in turn equally well-fed. However, in the first room, the people are very self-absorbed, selfishly thinking only of themselves. They are so obsessed with serving only their own needs, the idea of serving others has never crossed their minds." And this is what I want to think of: the me thinking versus the we thinking, and obviously the consequences that go with it. So my realization, I think, at Canando was twofold. I was first in the first room when I arrived. In the U.S., and for a long time, I was, in my mindset, part of the people in the first room, trying to just take care of myself. You know, when it's rough, you kind of turn in. Anyway, that's what I did. So, taking mindfulness to what I thought I would get out of it, and that brought me only to a certain level, I guess, of realization. And part of the reason I think that happened is that maybe some of you know French. I mean, I know one at least knows French. She's French, compatriote. But France is very different from the US. Culturally, it's just really different. We come from a different place. And part of it is due to the role of state. The state takes care of you quite a bit, much more than it does in the US. And it's not a judgment, I mean, it's just a fact. And for me, the first time I stepped into my daughter's classroom and that I was solicited to help out the teacher, I literally had trouble understanding what she meant at the beginning, because nobody does that in school. In France, my mom never stepped a foot in my classroom, and I never knew any mom doing that. Maybe one field trip, moms would help out, but I actually never had this experience with my mother. The state also takes care of housing. You don't have as many people, I would say, homeless So volunteering in homeless shelters, etc., is just not something that I would be accustomed to. Fundraising, I didn't know what that was. So I think because the state has such a deep involvement and try to make things easier for French people, but my husband is Norwegian and it's pretty much the same thing in Norway, I think is wonderful in what way, because everybody can be quickly self-sufficient because of all the help. But I realize that we also very much turned inward about, you know, and try to see what's in it for us. Here, of course, things are different. And the culture is to step up for what's needed. One of the things I discovered at Kanando is that when we have our circles, for instance, in the morning, if we have set up, actually at any time, whether or not we set up breakfast and on Fridays or just after a 5:30 meditation, we are in the center. And if Les says, well, I need the clock to be adjusted, someone will step up right away. Or we need this. Everybody steps up completely naturally. It's just normal. And being part of Kanando and over the years, I've seen and then learned for myself and take with me this attitude of caring and being there for others. And what I'm explaining here is that I've, over the past 3.5 years, stepped into the second room. I started relating more and more with the people, you know, helping each other, and feeling very much rewarded about that, feeling happy, feeling fulfilled, because we're there for each other. Somebody needs something, we show up, and someone will take care of it. We just know that. And I have found myself stepping up and saying, okay, I'll do that, which I've never done, ever. A few really wonderful experiences were at Tassaha, where I, with my friends from the Sangha, was able to get in a group and everybody would get together at the beginning of the day, and someone would mention a number of tasks to be done, exactly like we are doing at Kanando, and would tell people, choose people to do those tasks, and we would work all together mindfully. This experience to go at Tassara, but also being here and over the year practicing this, brought me to this state where now I'm not just inspired by the people here, the Sangha, led by Les, but I feel that I'm part of it. And this idea of we versus me is not only, I think, in the things that you do, but also where you come from when you do everything. It changes the orientation of your behavior, it changes your orientation of the way you act in your life. And while I think that I got the idea a long time ago, when I studied mindfulness, I feel like I learned to embody it here. So let's mention that I left. And I think that there's a saying that says, well, you don't know what you have until it's gone. Well, I kind of knew what I had. I knew it would be hard to leave. But I must say that what makes it very hard is really to leave this place, because thanks to the people, my Sangha, the Sangha, thanks to Les dedication, he's here every morning at 5:30, leads by example. With such an open heart, being there for everybody. We can go to Dukasan and ask him for advice or guidance all the day of the week. Well, being a member of this Sangha, I think helped me grow. And this is why it's very hard. My heart opened here. And obviously, while I'm accepting, because I want to be mindful in this transition, while I'm very much accepting of what's happening and the necessity for me to move on to a new place and live near Seattle, at the same time, I cannot express how grateful I am for my experience here and the growth I've had being here those 3.5 years. And I'm just very happy for you who still are here and can still enjoy this place. It's a very special place. Thank you so much. Absolutely.
Hi. I loved how you described going from focusing on me to focusing on we, and was wondering if you could go a little bit more into that, like, specifically, was there a moment that really clicked for you?
Yes. Yes. Tassahara. I had never been to a Zen monastery before. And I was going with the member of the Sangha that I knew and I was comfortable with, but being me. I've never had done anything like that before. I had done many silent retreats because I'm a very dedicated meditation practitioner, but not in such a setting. And being together, working together, going there together, working together, and then having those special times with Les in the afternoon was absolutely transforming. It was, something shifted. First, the energy there, I think, is very different, very grounded. It's a monastery lost in the mountains. And it takes at least an hour of a dirt road, right? An hour or so. And it's like, what, 2 miles? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just very hard to get there. And to me, it's almost symbolic of, okay, you're letting everything behind and you're making the effort to step into a different world. And when you're there, it's not about you. It's about what is needed. At the in the monastery. You're there for your practice, for something bigger than you. You let go of your thoughts. And then when you work, you let go of what it is that you need to do for you, because you work for the temple. And then in the afternoon, we were deepening our work in a wonderful way. We were doing some Japanese poetry, and we're working on those haiku. Yes, haiku. Thank you. Haiku. And it's a way to say in very few words something that the mind generally wants to explain in, like me right now, in few minutes. So it's a place where you can let go of everything that is superficial. It's just you boil down to what's important. And what's important, it's not the I, it's the we, it's what we do together, it's what's needed in the moment. So that was, this is a moment where I felt my heart opening, which is something I was very much looking forward and wanted to work on, but it's not something you work on, that's something that happens, just like you fall asleep. You know, when you're ready, it's just, you finally let go of the tightness and you just open up.
Awesome, thank you.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for your very personal and touching story. I really felt very inspired by it. My question is, at Canon-do and in Zen Buddhism in general, there's a heavy emphasis on zazen, on meditation. I was wondering how your experience in zazen and meditation helped form this notion of selflessness or this notion of we, this sort of voyage from considering yourself primarily to considering other people. How did zazen specifically aid in that sort of self-discovery and process?
Thank you. I think it's a wonderful question. Really wonderful, because I think that the two are really much tied together. When you're really deep into zazen, when you meditate, at least for me at first, there was thoughts. And there is some time, especially lately, there's been a lot of thoughts with the move, I can tell you that. The thoughts are about the I. What I'm worrying about, what's going to happen, what I should have done. It's all about I, and it's okay, they just appear. I'm just a recipient of the thoughts, and that's, I don't engage into battles with that at all, it's just I observe that. But what happens when you observe that enough and without engaging, it falls away. And you're left with, well, not much. Just darkness and the breath and the sound, energy. It's not about the I anymore. It's about everything else. It's about the we. So, when you wake up from zazen, you know, when you actually, for me, you know, stand up after meditation, the eye, if the eye is still kind of stripped away, I'm just there for others. Does it make sense?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
So it's interesting that you were talking about poetry. I came across this line from Rumi today. I'll share it with you. So your task is not to receive love. Rather, your task is to knock down the pillars and walls that stop internal pillars and walls that stop it from coming in.
Can you repeat that?
Your task is not to receive love. Rather, it is to knock down the walls and pillars that stop it from coming in.
Amen to that. Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that, but yes. Yeah.
So the I goes to the we. That's what happens.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I felt here with. And I must say, to that note, that it's the people. Again, I've been studying a long time, and I've been practicing a long time, but the people, I cannot say enough about them. Every day, you know, their kindness, their openness, their dedication, it's so inspiring. When you're ready, when I was ready, and I would see this, I would just realize, oh, they're doing this. I need to step up. I need to do something. They're working so hard. Like my friend, wonderful friend over there, she's working so hard. She was like, so much. It's like, I've got to give something. I've got to do something too, because she's doing it, and she shouldn't, you know, bear this all alone. And all my friends that are involved with Canando take a lot on sometimes, and you. So that has been so inspiring to me, and it's stepping out of your beliefs, even if they are great beliefs. My beliefs were, you got to come from the heart, you got to be a good person, etc. But it's stepping out of those beliefs and really living them. How does it translate into everything? And I think that from what I sense is really less is teaching. How do we live with then? How do we live mindfully? If you look at his books, it's, anyway, that's what I get. How to bring that to our lives.
This isn't really a question, but I just wanted to thank you for articulating. Sometimes it's hard to express in words. For me personally, I relate very much. The consistency makes this feel like a very safe place. And it's funny because I was just in Canada this morning, and I flew back and had this like urge to come, like almost like coming home almost, you know?
Yes.
And it's very special for me because I have a very small family and I'm very attached to them. So I feel that there have been times where I've thought about having to move so I can sympathize, because that was one of the things that came up in my mind, that I would have to leave, you know? That would be really challenging. So I don't really have an answer for that, but I guess, you know, we're not supposed to be attached to things, and also, like, appreciating the experience, because not everyone gets that, so even though it's over, it's, the fact that you had it is sort of amazing in and of itself. So I hope you can carry it with you and not feel too much separation. But I understand.
Well, thank you for that. I think that I really tried to step out of should you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda. And just practice what I've learned here, is just to open my heart and embrace what is. And I knew that that needed to happen. I needed to move. So it was a conscious decision. And what's been remarkable is the difference between the first move and the second move, because I could see arising in me the same anxiety and fear that I had the first move, except the first time I did not even identify these as such. I was just run by them. I was just acting out a little bit, you know, and was not aware that I was actually challenged. This time, not only I was very much aware of what was happening, but I completely opened my heart and said, okay, well, right now I'm feeling this way and it's okay. And it's normal, it is a transition. And just embracing that. And so even though it is true that I'm talking about separation, because I'm not here anymore, I really, at the same time, feel like it's, how would I explain that? It's like a, you're cutting something, you know, you're letting go of something you really love, but it's something that needs to happen. So there's grief, but it's a grief that is okay. It's not destructive. It's just, okay, I feel this way and it's normal. I'm human, so I have feelings and I acknowledge that and I honor that. And, but I'm at the same time, I embrace the new chapter. So it's conjoining the opposites, taking the, what I've read in a book by a wonderful author, and I really like this concept of having two extremes brought together and find equanimity with that, you know? So it's difficult, there's the new things, and just embrace the two and accept reality.
When are you coming back to visit us?
Well, I'm here until the 7th, and there's the party on Saturday, and then probably I'm going to be traveling, but probably in September. I'll do my best, and I told my husband we need to come once a month, so we'll see how that works. Yes, exactly.
Let us know. We'll plan a party or something.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
This talk was brought to you by the Cannondoe Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to cannondoe.org, that's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.